come and be in the meeting tonight, enjoyed the service last night.
Amen.
Thankful for the good day the Lord's given us.
Amen.
I do appreciate the good place provided for us to stay. Thank you so much. Appreciate the generous basket that is placed in our room. Thank you for that. And with all the things in it. And I appreciate your prayers for us on last night. And I do need your prayers again tonight. The Lord would help us.
Amen.
Call your attention, if you have a Bible with you tonight, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10.
Amen.
Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10. Amen. The brother remarked tonight that the Lord could save him, he could save anybody.
Yeah.
That's what the Apostle Paul said.
Chief.
He said, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Right.
So I guess if he can save the chief, that means he can save the rest of the tribe.
That's right.
Amen. And the young lady tonight, dear sister, talking about that song, brought back memories. Remember years ago, my wife and I standing in her mother's house, and her sister playing that song on the piano, and my wife and I singing that song, Lord, Whatever It Takes. And that day we said to the Lord, Lord, whatever it takes to draw closer to you.
Amen.
Take my houses and my lands, change my dreams
yes,
and my
sir.
Plans.
Yes,
I'm placing
sir.
My whole life
yes.
in your hands.
Yes.
And oh my, that's what the Lord wants, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir, preacher.
And it will be worth it all.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Somebody said the cost is too great. Not when you can see the reward.
Amen.
Not when you see what's over there.
Amen.
It may seem like giving up and losing out down here, but this ain't all of it.
Amen.
This is just the temporal. We're going towards some things that are eternal.
Yes, sir.
Some eternal blessings, some eternal rewards. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I wouldn't be like Esau, sell out my eternal blessings for some temporal things.
Right.
A lot of folks are.
Right.
But I'm glad there's some things that are ours by birth
yes.
in the family of God yeah. that we can have if we'll not sell them out
That's
to
right.
pacify the flesh.
Right.
And it'll be worth it.
Yes.
Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Father, we thank you for the privilege to pray tonight. We thank you for the word of God that you have preserved to this generation. And the portion you've directed our heart to tonight. And that you've let us read from. I thank you for the privilege to be assembled in the house of God tonight. And oh, Holy Ghost, I pray for a few moments you'd breathe upon us.
Yes.
I pray to your Heavenly Father that for a few moments you'd manifest your power and let us see your glory. Oh, God of heaven, would you work among us now and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Have mercy and help us tonight. I pray you'd deal with the hearts of sinners. I pray you'd stir the hearts of saints. I pray, God, that your name would be glorified and magnified and lift it up high in this service tonight. Help us, I pray. Strengthen us for this hour. May the word of God have free course. And may it find lodging in hearts alive. Rebuke, Lord, the devourer. Rebuke, Lord, of Satan and the forces of hell. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd give us victory tonight.
And oh God, what you're pleased to do in and through and for us tonight, we'll bow with a head and praise you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight.
Amen. Preach.
I want to preach tonight from verse 48, where the Bible said, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace."
Uh-huh.
I want to preach tonight on what will happen if we hold our peace. Now, this little phrase is used several times in the Word of God. And of course, when they said to Bartimaeus, "Hold your peace," it simply meant to refrain from speaking.
Uh-huh.
It meant to be silent or to be quiet. If I was in Alabama tonight, I'd use Alabama language and I'd say, they just simply said, "Shut up."
Uh-huh.
Amen. And so tonight we live in a world that wants God's people to hold their peace. I'm amazed in our America that was founded on the Bible and on the principles of God's Word. I'm amazed at how, my friend, that they want you to be silent when it comes to preaching, when it comes to praying, and when it comes to praising. Amen. We live in America that they have frowned many times on having open air meetings or preaching on the street corner, but yet someone or some ones can march through the street in a sodomite parade and commit lewd acts, and they'll not say anything to them, but I'll put the man of God in jail as he preaches. Amen. What the world is saying tonight to the church, hold your peace tonight. Hold your peace, preacher. Hold your peace. A saint of God that wants to lift their voice and praise God, hold your peace, sinner. A God that wants to pray and cry out to unto God for salvation, hold your peace tonight. It's in the religious world. Amen.
Yeah.
Isn't it so? Hey, God, folks want you to hold your peace tonight. In other words, just be silent or be quiet tonight. And I find folks say, "I don't believe in all that emotionalism."
I've heard it.
Amen. "I'm just not emotional." Well, you're emotional when it comes to arguing with your husband or wife. You're emotional, hey, God, when you're down at the ball game. Amen. That's exactly right. And you're emotional when they charge you too much at the store. Amen. Most time, most folks are just not emotional. They say when they come to the house of God. Amen. I want to say tonight, we've held our peace way too long tonight. The old preachers I heard when I was a boy, I would say this: "This is the quietest world you'll ever live in. If you go to heaven, they're going to be a shouting. If you go to hell, they're going to be praying and crying out unto God." We live in the quietest world that we'll ever live in tonight. And I'd say we've refrained from speaking. We've been quiet and silent for too long about God and the things of God and the scriptures and the spirit and salvation. Amen. We ought to lift our voice like a trumpet. We ought to cry loud and spare not tonight. We've been quiet too long. We've held our peace too long tonight. And God, it's time to rise and proclaim of God's goodness, God's grace. Amen. Amen. They wanted them, this crowd wanted Bartimaeus to hold their peace. In a world, in a religious world, wants us to hold our peace when it comes to spiritual matters.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But there's a danger in holding our peace tonight. And there'll be some things that will happen or take place if we hold our peace tonight. Amen. I want to say, first of all, I've got three places I want to talk to you about tonight. I'll look at the first two and then come back to our text in the end, if the Lord will permit me. I want to say, first of all, tonight, thank God, in the book of Esther. Amen. Tonight in Esther chapter 4, Esther was reminded by Mordecai of my friend, that if she held her peace in petitioning the king. I want to say to you tonight, we don't need to hold our peace when it comes to petitioning the king tonight. Now, I don't have time to preach. I got this story that's in the book of Esther. I got, so I hope you're up to speed tonight on what's taking place. Esther is the queen. She's the queen of King Ahasuerus. He's over 127 provinces. He's the Median Persian king. He's got a worldwide empire. He's in charge of things. Amen. And there's a wicked man in his kingdom, my friend, by the name of Haman. And he hates Mordecai, who is Esther's stepfather, for he took her as an orphan and raised her as his own daughter after her parents had died. Amen. And now, thank God, she's in the palace. She's been made the queen of King Ahasuerus. She's been there for 10 years. But Haman hates Mordecai because Mordecai won't bow to him. Amen. Haman is Ahasuerus' right-hand man. And Mordecai, being the Jew that he is, won't bow to anybody and to everything. Amen. Thank God, I like that in Mordecai, don't you? Now, I can say this tonight about Mordecai. Thank God, he is a contemporary of Nehemiah and Ezra. And I don't understand why he's not back helping build the wall or the temple, why he's in Shushan. Amen. Thank God, when he ought to sold out. Amen. And that's this church generation. There's a whole lot of folks ought to be back at Jerusalem helping rebuild the walls and lay the foundation of the temple, but they chose to stay in Shushan. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. And the Jews were captive when they first went to Babylon and then in Shushan, but over the years they began to rise in prominence and become businessmen, and some of them just didn't want to sell out and go back with that ragtag outfit and reestablish Jerusalem. And there's folks today that want Christianity so far, but they're not willing to sell out and be part of the ragtag outfit, but despise few of the remnant and the minority that's going through this world contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. But I can say this to Mordecai, he didn't bow to everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the only hope for revival in our churches in America is there's still a few that hadn't bowed to everything yet.
That's it.
Hey, hallelujah. Thank God. And so Haman wants to kill Mordecai. He's instructed by others and family members that Mordecai's a Jew, so he just devises a plot not only to kill Mordecai, but just get all the Jews. And he gets the king to sign a decree. Thank God he pays. Thank God, out of his own pocket for the decree to be posted throughout the 127 provinces. Amen. And on a certain day, thank God, in the certain month, all the enemies of the Jews can rise up and kill them and spoil them and take what was theirs. Amen. When this decree has been signed, Mordecai and the Jews, thank God, in Shushan, the palace, get in sackcloth and ashes. Amen. Now Mordecai's been coming to the palace every day to check on Esther ever since she's been in there. Amen. Hallelujah. Now only a parent would understand why Mordecai would do that. Are y'all listening to me tonight? I can tell you tonight, just because you get your youngins out of diapers and off the bottle and graduated from school, that doesn't make you love them any less tonight. Hallelujah. And some of you young folks think your parents are dope on you and they ought to leave you alone. And I understand that you having your own space tonight, but you also got to realize that Whether you're 5 or 50, hey God, your mom and daddy still loves you and cares about what happens to you. Hey, hallelujah. And Mordecai went every day ought to check on her, ought to see how things was going. She is the queen. She is his queen. But he is still her stepdaddy. And he wanted to see how things were going. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Indulge a parent that's a little overprotected. Indulge a parent. I'm going to pray in the night just a little bit. They'll be gone soon enough. Indulge a parent tonight. I bet you wonder why they keep checking up on you. You could have been born of a crowd. Haven't left you. You could have been born of a crowd. How they give you dope when you're a baby and fills your bottle full of beer. You ought to be thankful tonight that somebody still loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And that dumb old man and that ignorant old woman, how that your parents tonight, and it's not near as smart as you are. Hey, God, just give it a few years, and all of a sudden, they'll be a lot smarter than they were. All of a sudden, you'll realize they knew more than you thought they knew. And before you know it, you'll be wishing you could ask them, hey, God, how to do this and how to do that. Woo! Amen. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And if they're godly parents, scriptural and spiritual parents, and follow the Lord, you'll never find anybody that'll love you like mama will and like daddy. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Doesn't mean they're perfect. And you'll find out you wasn't either. And you ain't either tonight. Hallelujah. Hey, God. And old Mordecai, I've been going every day, but this day he wasn't there. But he's sitting outside the king's gate, for nobody's allowed beyond the king's gate that's in sackcloth and ashes. Amen. Oh yeah. And one of Miss Esther's, amen. A man that seen her, Hatak by name. That's his name. Hallelujah. Comes by and sees Mordecai in them sackcloth and ashes and walks into the palace and says, Miss Esther, ain't got Mordecai sitting out there in sackcloth and ashes. She runs to her closet. Amen. And gets a change of garment and sends it back by Hatak and to give to Mordecai. When Hatak comes out there with a change of garment, Mordecai says, take it back to Miss Esther. I don't need a change of garment. She don't know what's going on. Yeah. Amen. Oh, what a world we live in. What a religious world. And it wants to hand the sinner, the penitent sinner, something to make them feel better. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord God, help us. How to get past being a seeker-friendly church. I'm not talking about not being friendly and loving folks, but I'm telling you, not having plans and programs and personalities. How to try to be seeker-friendly tonight. Anybody listen to me? Hallelujah. What the sinner needs to do tonight is one thing, repent or perish. What the sinner needs to do tonight is lay their head on an altar and weep before a holy God until they're converted. Hallelujah. Hey, and don't try to make them feel good or sing them some secular song or involve them. I got in some secular activity. If they're weeping and crying, let them weep and cry till they lay hold of God and are saved by the grace of God. Woo! Bless his name tonight. Same way with a burden saint. We don't know hardly what to do with burden saints anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. If they cry and pray over 5 minutes at the altar, We got to get them up. Hallelujah. Amen. I preach revival meetings. And the pastor, I tried to get through maybe as a somber message. And the folks were quiet and still. And sort of sad and thoughtful. And the pastor would get up and say, I can't send y'all home like this. I got to lighten you up a little bit. And so he'd set in with a few jokes and tales how to lighten the load. Hey God, if the load's heavy, there may be a reason for it. Don't just send in a change of garment. Find out what's going on. Here's the sad thing. Hallelujah. Is anybody still with the preacher tonight? Here's the sad thing. Hey God, Queen Esther was in the palace where the decree had been signed. It had been signed right under her nose, and she didn't have one idea what was going on. Hallelujah. It's amazing that we've sat in Baptist churches and went through our forms and programs. Hallelujah. And we don't have an idea what's going on when the world is going to hell, and Satan has signed a decree against our kindred and our neighbors and our friends. Hallelujah. And we're more worried about the beauty of the palace. We're more worried about how we look. Hey, are you hearing me? We're more worried about entertaining my friends the state dinners than we are having the power of God. Are y'all hearing me? I want to tell you how the most important thing that can go on around here tonight is a hell-deserving sinner get transformed and translated and brought out of darkness into the light of God's love. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And that ought to be our first and primary objective tonight. Y'all listen to me. Amen. And it takes the power of God for that to happen. Amen. Well, well. Hallelujah. I'm preaching on what will happen if you hold your peace. Amen. And so when the Hatak comes back to Esther and says Mordecai won't come out of them sackcloth and ashes, she said, well, go back and see what it is and why it is. And Mordecai hands Hatak a copy of the decree that Haman had the king to sign and was sent in all the provinces, and said, take this to Miss Esther and tell her to go in and petition the king to change this decree. Amen. Hallelujah. And Esther and Mordecai began to talk back and forth through Hatak. And she said unto Mordecai, the king has not called me to himself for 30 days. And you know the law of the Medes and Persians. If I show up unannounced, if I just walk in and the king doesn't hold out the golden scepter to me, she said, I die instantly. Amen. And then I want to read to you. And here's where we're preaching at tonight. But Mordecai sent back the message. Amen. He said, faint not within thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Right. And in Esther 4:14 he said, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. He said, if you hold your peace, God's going to bring deliverance and enlargement through somebody else. Up through another place. Anybody listening to me tonight? What I'm first of all preaching tonight is, if we hold our peace in petitioning the king, what will happen? Deliverance shall arise from another place. Enlargement shall arise from another place. Hear me tonight, preacher. You don't have to be the preacher that God uses in this generation and in this day. Hey, God, if you don't want it, God will use somebody. Amen. You don't have to be the church that God uses in this generation. Hey, God, but God will use somebody. Amen. But if you, preacher, and you, lay member, and we as a church body hold our peace, God will use somebody else. I don't know about you, but I want to be used of God in this day. Hallelujah. He said, "Think us not that thou mayest been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this." Have you ever thought, Miss Sister, the reason why you're sitting there with a king or with a queen's crown on is because God knew that Haman would sign this decree, and God had you right there where you could petition the king? Have you wondered why you're saved in this generation? Why are you where you're at tonight? I tell you, we're here for such a time as this. And somebody ought not to hold their peace and petition the king tonight to change the wicked decree.
Amen.
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 What do you mean by petitioning the king, preacher? I'm talking about praying. And whether you've been saved 5 seconds or 55 years, you can petition the king. You've got a right. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The old black preacher said it like this: every one of us has got a check made out on the bank of heaven, but we fail to cash it in at the window of prayer. Amen. Every one of us can petition the king tonight, but we've held our peace in petitioning the king. Hallelujah. And because we've held our peace, and if we continue to hold our peace, God will bring deliverance and enlargement through somebody else tonight. But I want him to use me tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, preacher, if I can't be the one that God uses in revival, if it's you, if it's Brother Helton, if it's some of these other men of God here tonight, then I want to stand behind you, hold you cold, fan the flame, pray for you, hold you up tonight. I want to be around in it, involved in it tonight. Church, what do you want to be tonight? Do you want to be the church that God uses in this generation? Hey, hear me, friend. Do you want to be the one that God uses to bring deliverance and enlargement tonight? Are you going to hold your peace? Amen. I like Mordecai's faith. Mordecai sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Mordecai is holding in his hand a death warrant.
Yes, sir.
A death decree.
Yes, sir.
It says you're fixing to die, buddy. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But he's talking to Esther about deliverance.
Yeah.
And he's not only talking about deliverance, he's talking about enlargement.
Yes,
he said, God ain't going to just deliver us, Jews. He's going to enlarge us through this.
Amen.
Is anybody listening tonight? That's faith, amen. And he said, you may have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. So get in there and petition the king. And if you hold your peace in petitioning the king, then deliverance and enlargement will arise from another place. But he said this, but you and your father's household, you'll perish.
Oh,
amen. Won't be just God using somebody else. Ain't God, but oh, when we lose our saltness, when we lose our light, when we lose our input, are y'all hearing me tonight? Ain't God, we have no more value. Y'all hearing me? When we can't serve and worship and be used of God, we need to be moved out, and God will move us out of here. May I make this statement tonight? God has no problem removing or throwing away that that becomes unusable.
Amen.
You better read that Bible and read it thoroughly. And when he got through with folk, and they got through with him, and when he got through using things, hallelujah, amen, it wasn't no problem for him to throw them away. Man, did you notice how quiet it's got in here? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, wonder Paul said, I bring my body under subjection, lest while I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, bless his name tonight. What will happen if we hold our peace and petition in the king? What will happen? No evidence and enlargement will arise from another place. Hallelujah. And when Mordecai sent this message and this answer back to Miss Esther, she said to Hatak, go tell Mordecai to gather all the Jews in Shushan. And for the next 3 days, let them fast. Let them stay in sackcloth and ashes. And my maidens and I will do the same. Amen. And after those 3 days, I'll go in. And if I perish, I perish. Do you know when our praying will change things? It's when it becomes desperate prayer. Do you know when our praying will change things? When it becomes life and death praying. That nighty night and good morning stuff won't do anything. But let us get desperate. Let us see that the decree's been signed. Let us realize how that deliverance and enlargement will come through somebody else. Let us get desperate. Let it become life and death to us. Woo! And God will hear our prayer and grant our petition tonight. Hallelujah. My grandmother, on my father's side, his mother, was a shouting Christian. Hallelujah. Yeah. Brother Rackley, one of the greatest joys after me being saved and called to preach was to preach in the home church. And I did, Brother Helton, one night on a Saturday night out of the book of Isaiah on There's a Way. And it shall be called the highway of holiness. No unclean thing shall pass over it. I was preaching them that text. And my grandma got to shouting while I was preaching. Somebody said, that embarrassed you, make you quit. No, it's like putting white gas on a fire. It made me change gears and want to preach that much more. 15-year-old, when she got saved, in Sand Mountain in Alabama, said she walked away from the house that morning. Had the word her parents had raised her, got out on that hillside and begged God to save her and come back to the house shouting and telling it. 16-year-old married a 28-year-old man that was unsaved, not well advisable. But in that day, sort of the way they did, he'd never been married, she'd never been married, 12 years her senior, amen. And she married him, and about 7 boys later, thank God the husband still wasn't saved. And that oldest boy, I was 23, next to the oldest was 21, and none of them had been saved, but they'd go to church with her, but none of them had been saved. My grandpa take her to church, and sometimes go in, sometimes stand outside. And in those days when they'd have meetings, especially revival meetings, people would sometimes go back and talk to sinners and encourage them to come to the altar. My grandpa, they did that a time or two to him, and he decided he'd start going out before they give an invitation, an altar call. And so he did. But one night in service, thank God, was allowed to seat for like this, except this, against both walls. Amen. And he got caught sitting against that wall, thank God, and couldn't get out. Amen. And so when the invitation come, some of them was ready to go back to get him. He crawled out the window and went outside to that crowd outside and said, I outslicked that bunch. And they called him Slick from then on. Amen. And thank God, Grandpa Slick and the boys and Grandma was in the service on a Saturday night before Easter Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I better just preach. Hallelujah. Wouldn't do busy cutting eggs. Well, let me just finish up. There's a meeting, and it lasted rather late that night, like it did a lot of times back in those days. And Grandpa got mad, sent one of the grown boys in and said, "Tell your mama, if she wants a ride home, she better get in this car now. Hey, daughter, I'm living without it." And he meant it, and she knew it, and she got up from her seat, though service wasn't over, went out and got in that car, and never said a word, and he never said a word all the way home. But when she crawled between the covers that night, such a burden fell on her soul that she said to God, "God, I'm going to lay in this bed until I die. Or you save my husband, or move him one, or change the situation." That's life and death praying. That's desperate praying. When breakfast time come on that Easter Sunday, Grandma, Mama didn't get up and fix the boys no breakfast. She's in the bed praying. Lunchtime come around, and Grandma, Mama still in the bed. Grandpa's walking the floor, and the boys are worried about Mama. And finally, Bill, a 21-year-old next to the oldest, goes in and says, "Mama, are you sick? Mama, can I help you?" She said, "If you know anybody that knows how to pray, go get them." He was a lost boy, but he thought he knew a half a dozen in the community that knew how to pray. So he drove around that Easter Sunday evening and got them to come back home with him. The amazing thing was, when he got back to the house, there's a yard and a house full of Christians. Nobody had a telephone or a telegraph, but somehow God had put on the heart of his people how to go to Miss Sadie Pace's house that day. She was needing some help. Prayer meeting broke out. Grandpa got on his knees and on his face and begged God to save him, and God saved. Woo! Bill was 21-year-old. He got under conviction. He got to begging God to save him. He called in the bedroom where Mama was at and prayed a while, and he rose up, and Mama said, "What about it, Bill?" He said, "I don't know." She said, "I wouldn't stop that now. I wouldn't stop that short." Hallelujah. And I heard him, and he said, "Miss 6-year-old tonight, pastoring a church in Alabama." And I heard him say, "The next time I bowed to pray, when I come to myself, I was a shouting, 'I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved.'" And Grandma come out of the bed a shouting. Why? Because she had prayed and said, "If I perish, I perish." Are y'all hearing me tonight? It is desperate life and death praying. It is changing the petition, begging God to do it. And God did it. I say, if he'll do it for Sadie Pace, he'll do it for you and I tonight, if we'll not hold our peace. Woo! Bless his name tonight. Hallelujah. By the way, Esther chapter 5 said on the third day, Esther put on the royal apparel and went into the inner court over against the king's house and stood there. Hallelujah. She went in, but she went in on the third day. And that's how I'm going in. And that's how you'll get in. It's based on what took place on the third day. Woo! And because he got up on the third day, every one of us have a right. Every one of us have the privilege. Thank God to go to the throne of grace. King held out the golden scepter when he saw her. "What do you want to half of my kingdom?" She said, "Have a banquet with me tonight and invite Haman." They had the banquet. When it was over, he said, "What do you want in the half of the kingdom?" She said, "Another banquet tomorrow night and invite Haman." In the meantime, Haman built some gallows to hang Mordecai on. Amen. Hallelujah. But on that night, the king can't sleep. Amen. And the next morning about sunrise, Haman walks in a whistling Thank God. Because things are looking up. He's the only man in the kingdom that's had a private dining experience with the king and queen. Hallelujah. And this is the day Mordecai's going to be hanged on the gallows. And just a few short days, all the Jews going to be killed. Haman's feeling mighty good about himself. And the king said, Haman, I'm glad you're the first one here this morning. What would you do? I tell you, if you were king to the man, hey God, that you thought highly of in the kingdom. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, that night when he couldn't sleep, he had read in the Chronicles of the king how Mordecai, hey God, had told of treason of two men, and had been told the king, and they investigated and killed those that had committed the treason, but Mordecai was never rewarded. Haman, what would you do if you was king to the man you thought highly of in the kingdom? He said, I tell you what I'd do, king. I'd go in there and get one of my best robes and put it on him. Hallelujah. He said, I'd get the finest steed out of the stable and let him ride on it. I'd get a man high in authority in the kingdom to lead that stable of that steed through all the city. And I'd say to everyone, here's the one the king favors. He said, that sounds good to me, Haman. Go find Mordecai the Jew and put this on him and set him on my horse. And you cry throughout the city, this is the man whom the king favors. Oh, I can't get through. Hallelujah. Somebody pray for me tonight. Hallelujah. Can I say to you tonight, it may be sackcloth and ashes now. It may be petitioning the king now. It may be the wicked Haman's looks like running over us now. But there's coming a blessing and a bright morning when the Lord's going to gather his. Hallelujah. And display his jewels and say, this is mine. This is my bride. This is my church. This is the one I saved by grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everybody's going to know. And when Esther, at this second night banquet, let it be known that Haman had desired to kill her and her people, it so infuriated the king that he left in anger. And then when he came back through, Haman was laying on the queen's bed begging her for his life, and he thought he was trying to rape her. Amen. And he said, force you the queen, and you not only wonder lie, but now you're going to force yourself on her right here in the palace. And somebody said, the gallows he had built for Mordecai is out there ready. He said, take him and hang him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And the decree got changed.
Yes.
And Esther and Mordecai was delivered, as was all the Jews. Anybody listening to the preacher tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And Mordecai did get deliverance. He got to wear Haman's ring and got his position. Are y'all hearing me tonight? A deliverance and enlargement had happened. Oh Lord, I feel like running this building tonight. Ain't got to jump in the pews. Hallelujah. All because a little orphan girl by the name of Esther was willing to go in and petition the king. What you do tonight in the kingdom is worth something. Hey, pray on, sister. Pray on, brother. Hey God, whether you're young or old or middle-aged, whether you're recognized or not, go to the king tonight. Hey God, pray. Pray your petition to the king tonight. Hallelujah.
Pray on.
Get God to change the wicked decree that's been signed against your children and grandchildren, your family and your friends, your neighbors, and your community and your church. Hey, God, petition the king. Don't hold your peace tonight. If you do, deliverance will arise from another place. I want to say tonight, we should not hold our peace in petitioning the king. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Secondly tonight, we should not hold our peace in praising the king.
Yeah.
If you'll look with me tonight in Luke chapter 19.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Bless his name.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in verse 36 of Luke 19, Jesus is on that colt whereon never man has sat. And the disciples have got him, and amen, cast their garments on the colt, and Jesus is sitting thereon. And verse 36 says, as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Don't hold your peace in petitioning the King, in praying to the King. If you do, deliverance and enlargement will arise from another place. Don't hold your peace in praising the King. If you do, the stones will cry out. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm way behind on praising. Well, hallelujah. Can I say bless his holy name tonight for saving a wretch like me? Can I say tonight I'm behind on thanking him and praising him just for saving me tonight? Hallelujah. And by the way, I don't have to wait around to praise him for being saved. He said, rejoice not because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. Sometimes the spirit may not be subject to you. Sometimes you may not be in the best of health. Sometimes things may not be going your way. Sometimes the storm clouds may be hanging low. Thank God, but I'm glad tonight, regardless of how it is down here, my name's up there tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody said, when did your name get wrote down there? Did it, was it wrote down before the foundation of the world? Did it get wrote down the hour you believed? What is, I don't know all about that, but I know the hour I found out is wrote down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1973. On a Saturday night, I found out my name was written there. And I got a standing right and a praise God and rejoice tonight. And we've held our peace too long in praising the King. Hallelujah. I think I told this to Brother Helton the other week. Back probably in the month of June, I had a preacher call me. He said, Brother Pace, he said, you know, I hadn't been pastoring lately. He said, I've just been attending the home church. And he said, we had a young preacher in the church. And said he left, just walked off and left the church. And he said, I'm doing the interim work. And he said, the church has a scheduled revival every year in July. They want to go ahead and still have it, but that pastor didn't have nobody, and I just have took, they just have asked me to fill in till they can find somebody, but they want to still have church, have a meeting at least 3 nights, and I told them it's probably short notice, but you come to my mind, and so I just wanted to call you and see could you come, and I said, I'd love to, preacher, but I'm already booked that week. I don't have any nights open. He said, well, I thought it might be the case, but I just wanted to check with you before I went anywhere else. And he said, I'm still rejoicing over those times when you was just a teenage boy, you preached for me in the 70s, 74, 75, 76, when I was at Welcome Hill. I said, I remember that, preacher. What about Miss Julie Patterson? He said, buddy, she'd shout you down, wouldn't she? I said, buddy, that woman would shout. He said, she lived to be 104. And he said, when she was 100, she walked to a baptismal service we had down on the creek and shouted on the creek. Amen. He said, Brother Pace, I want to tell you about Aunt Julie. That's what he called her and everybody else called her. He said, she didn't just shout when you was there in revival. He said, she shouted while I was a pastor. Hallelujah. He said, I can't tell you the Sundays that I had much more got started preaching than she'd get to shouting and sometimes shout till I got through. Amen. And he said, I want to tell you, she didn't just wait till I preached these. She shouted while they sung. And he said, me and my wife went by to pick her up and to carry her to church. And she's come out of the house to shout. Amen. He said, we've helped found the car into the church to shout. Now y'all hearing me? Hallelujah. And he said, we've helped her out of the car after church into her house, and she'd be a shouting. Hallelujah. Woo! Anybody listen to me tonight? I'm way behind on praising the Lord tonight. Hey, he didn't just save me tonight, but look how he's blessed me, amen. And look how he's blessed you tonight. Hallelujah. I know you can complain tonight, but also if you'd bow your head tonight, you'd have to say God's been mighty good to you tonight. He's blessed you physically, spiritually, financially. Y'all hearing me tonight? God's clothed you and fed you tonight. I say it's time. Thank God we praise the Lord. We've held our peace too long. Thank God we should not hold our peace in praising the King. Whatever thing that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I say he's worthy to be praised tonight. And for his word's sake, he ought to be praised tonight. Don't hold your peace in praising the King. Amen. We hold our peace in petitioning the King, deliverance and enlargement arise from another place. We hold our peace in praising the King. The stones will cry out. And let us look at our text, and I'll be through tonight. And we should not hold our peace in making a plea to the King. Bartimaeus made a plea to King Jesus. As Jesus went through Jericho, and on the other side, blind Bartimaeus found out who it was and began to cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many said, shut up. Many said, be quiet. Many said, be silent. And many said, hold your peace. For a moment, Bartimaeus did. But then he got to thinking about how blind he was. And who Jesus was. And what he'd done for others. And he cried the great deal more. Amen. He got a little louder, in other words. Hallelujah. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible said Jesus stood still. Hallelujah. Somebody preach from that text. Amen. Where the sun stood still. The S-O-N stood still in the valley of Ajalon for Joshua. And the S-U-N stood still for Joshua in the valley of Ajalon. And the S-O-N stood still for Bartimaeus at Jericho. Anybody listening to me? Hallelujah. And Jesus said, command that this one that's crying out be brought to me. And that same crowd that said be quiet had to go back and say, the master, be of good cheer. Rise, he calleth for thee. And when he throwed aside his garment and got to where Jesus was, Jesus said, what shall I do? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thank God. Go thy way. And immediately he followed Jesus in the way. Amen. He didn't go his way. He followed Jesus in the way. Amen. So I'm saying to you tonight, we should not hold our peace in making a plea to the King. If Bartimaeus had held his peace in making a plea to the King, what would have happened? He'd have never passed by his way again. As far as we know, this is the last time he enters into Jericho and passes through. He then heads back to Jerusalem and is never again in Jericho. Anybody listening to the preacher tonight? And if Bartimaeus had listened to that crowd that said, hold your peace, thank God he'd have never got his sight. And so tonight, can I say, as Jesus is passing by Rogersville, Tennessee, and Rogersville Baptist Temple tonight, you ought to make a plea to him tonight, for he might not pass by your way again.
Oh my. Well, preacher, what do you think ought to plea? I think one Bartimaeus plea would be just fine. Have mercy on me. Is there anybody here tonight that does not want mercy? Is there anybody here tonight that wants justice?
No, sir.
I still want mercy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, child of God, tonight, is there any of us that'll quit holding our peace and make a plea to the King as he passes by this way tonight and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my family. Have mercy on my church. Have mercy on my companion. Have mercy on my community. Have mercy on my country tonight. Somebody ought to make a plea for mercy. Oh, have mercy. Have mercy. Any saint of God, any child of God tonight want to make a plea for mercy? Don't hold your peace tonight. His presence is here. He's passing by while the King's coming through tonight. Why don't we, somebody, quit holding your peace and say, oh, Jesus, oh, King, have mercy. Because if he don't have mercy on me and you, he don't have mercy on our nation. He don't have mercy on our community, our cities, our churches. We're goners tonight. Oh, somebody ought to make a plea for mercy. Don't hold your peace tonight. You may not have a chance again. And dear sinner, oh, dear sinner tonight, in this service tonight, and away from the fold of God, and one heartbeat out of hell, and oh, under the condemnation and the wrath and the judgment of God, you're to make a plea for mercy tonight. Hallelujah. While there's time, while you've still got breath, while the mercy door's open, while grace is extended tonight. Hallelujah. While the day of salvation is still offered, you're to make a plea for mercy while his presence is dealing with your life tonight. You're to make a plea for mercy. I listened to the tape of that dear preacher, I think his name was Duncan, that preached in that Hebrides revival, if I remember right. Over yonder overseas. And he gave this testimony. He said, when the churches had got together and called me to come and preach, he said, several of those men from those churches met me when I got off my ship. And he said, they were going to show me to the place where I'd be staying while I was preaching there. And he said, one of the men spoke up and said, we go right close by the first church you'll be preaching at tomorrow. Would you like to go by and see where you'll be preaching tomorrow before you go on and lay down and get settled in where you're going to stay? He said, that'd be good. And he said they stopped by that church where he was going to preach first at and on tomorrow. And he said a crowd had done gathered because they'd been praying for days and weeks and months for revival, and had gathered in on that Saturday night. And he said when they come in and introduced him, then they begged him just to say a word to the congregation. And he said, I got up in the pulpit just to exhort, just to commend them for praying and to introduce myself. And he said, when I got behind that pulpit, he said, the power of God fell in that place. And he said, I stepped out of the pulpit and walked down the aisle. And he said, folk got to laying all over that church praying. And he said, it took me an hour to get back to the pulpit because so many people was laying in the floor. And he said, when I finally got back to the pulpit, he said, there was a young lady laying flat out behind the pulpit. And said, when I rounded and got to where I could hear her, I heard her screaming, "Is there any mercy for me? Is there any mercy for me? Is there any mercy for me?" He said, "Come to find out." She had went down to the local tavern that day, that evening, with some of her friends. And conviction had fell in that tavern. And every one of the young people wound up at that church. And this young lady was laying there saying, "Is there any mercy for me?" Oh, tonight, somebody surely, hey, God can quit holding their peace tonight. Some saint, some sinner could find you a place to pray tonight while the Lord's presence is passing by here and say, "Is there any mercy for me? Is there any mercy for my family? Is there any mercy for my church? Is there any mercy for my community, my country, my county tonight?" Somebody ought to make a plea for mercy. God, have mercy tonight. Why are we holding our peace in petition in the King? Why are we holding our peace in praise in the King? And why are we holding our peace in making a plea for mercy to the King tonight? Everybody stand, please.